Saturday, June 4th, 2000, whatever, Walter Cronkite, CBS News. Well, in Scripture from Tanakh through Brit Chadashah, from what Christians call the Old Testament, we Jews call the Tanakh, through the New Testament, Brit Chadashah, the scripture is about that's the way it was, and that's the way it is, and this is the way it's going to be. So we're going to cover that this is the way it's going to be about Yeshua's coming and the end of the age. Well, when we believe in Scripture, we believe that when it says Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. No matter what people try to deny, we believe that this miraculous creation of all these planets and these stars and galaxies, as far as the eye can see, we can't see the end of it, is God's creation. And it says that in the beginning, Choshech al Panei Tahom, darkness was on the face of the abyss. And the very first words that God says in Scripture is, Yehi Or, let there be light. Vayehi Or, and there was light. And we believe that's what God wants to say to mankind in the darkness of the human heart that came about because of the sin of mankind. Our progenitors ushered sin into the world. And it's come upon us. And when David committed two of the worst sins. David was a godly man, but he fell. He was king, but he fell. In just a moment of time, he committed adultery, and then he had the husband of the woman he committed adultery with put in the front lines, and he was a murderer. And in his prayer of repentance, Psalm 51, he says in the fifth verse, in sin did my mother conceive me. He believed in original sin, that we're born like this. We're born in sin. We need God's deliverance. So we believe that God is right now. I remember when I stood on a street corner in downtown Detroit years ago. I was in my early 30s. And I was about to go through the worst trial of my whole life. And the words of Yeshua came to me. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I really appreciated that word, that he is now, that God is in the person of Messiah, our deliverer, because I went through such terrible times. At times, I wondered if I was really born again. It was so hard, so difficult, those 7 years of torment, and I didn't know that God was trying to cleanse me of my fears. And he was with me the whole time, and he brought me through. And I was looking at Scripture, and I was thinking, what awesome times we live in even now. That it used to be that Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon were fantasies. How many remember the cartoons of Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon? We tell our age, don't we, when we raise our hand. But that was about going into space, wasn't it? And it was fantasy at that time, wasn't it? It was what's called science fiction in the cartoon. Well, it's not that anymore, is it? And we have not only that prospect of space travel, we have weapons of destruction worse than anything that man had imagined before, where millions of people can be annihilated at one time. Now, the scriptures tell us of what's coming concerning the world's end of the age, let's call it. But it also has with this the coming again of the Messiah. It's called parousia, the second coming of Messiah. Now, we began a week or so ago with Yeshua's response to the disciples' questions. They come to him and they're taken up with the beautiful, gorgeous buildings of the temple. They're so outstanding. They were thought, the second temple, with the way Herod redid it, was thought to be the most beautiful building in his whole kingdom. And so the disciples come to him and say, look at this gorgeous temple. And he says a prophecy to them that was going to come to pass in about 40 years from the time he was giving it. Now, 40 is the Bible's testing period, isn't it? 40 days and 40 nights the flood lasted. 40 years Israel was in the wilderness. Yeshua fasted 40 days and 40 nights before Satan took him into, or he went into the wilderness and Satan tested him. So 40 is the Bible's testing period. And he says, Yeshua says this, you see this building? You see these beautiful buildings here? Gorgeous, aren't they? Not one stone will be left upon another. And we were, I've told you this before, I'll repeat it, Gracie and I were treated to a trip to Israel and to Jordan in 1998, and we visited the Temple Mount. And some of the stones are still there. The witness that Titus and his Roman army entered Jerusalem in 70 AD. He annihilated the temple and he destroyed the city, and thousands of Jewish people were taken into captivity and other thousands were killed. And there are the stones, these huge stones on the earth, still attesting to the fact that in 70 AD this really happened. And what Yeshua said was a prophecy from God. Moses wrote in Torah, Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 18, that the way you can tell a prophet whether his prophecy is really true or not, if the thing follows not, nor comes to pass, that is the word which the Lord has not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. He said, you shall not fear him. Well, here it is, the prophecy of Yeshua, witness to this day that it really happened. So this is God's testimony that what Yeshua says beyond this in prophecy, we should listen to also. So the disciples come to him and they ask him in Matthew 24, verse 3, they ask him two questions. When will this happen? In other words, the destruction of the temple. And the second question is, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? He doesn't exactly answer the first question. When will this happen? It happens 40 years later. But he begins to give them signs of the that would happen just before the parousia, the second coming. Now, it's interesting what the second coming is called. It's spoken of by the Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and it says, we wait for this. You know, we shouldn't be totally taken up with how terrible everything is around us. Yeah, there's an ISIS, and there we see things that are so horrible happening to people. But Paul says this about believers, Titus 2:13. We wait for the blessed hope. Now, let me tell you something about blessed hope. We have changes in language. You ask a person, will such and such happen? Will this good thing happen? And they may say today, I hope so. I hope so today may mean maybe it will, maybe it won't. I sure hope it'll happen. That's not what hope is in the scriptures, in the New Testament. The hope is that which is really going to happen, and we should be anticipating it. We wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. That's the blessed anticipation. And we should have this in our hearts and on our minds. We shouldn't be taken up and overwhelmed with what's happening around us. I believe this, that there are enough horrible things happening that people could fear. But the fact that Yeshua said this should be part of our blessed owning of what God has for us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. He was going to experience the worst torture any man could experience. And he's teaching his disciples about what they could anticipate. And he at this point is at perfect peace, giving them what to anticipate. And he says to them, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. The world signs a peace treaty and it means nothing. My peace. The storm is raging and he's asleep in the boat. Many of us would say, I couldn't sleep through that storm. I'd be afraid I was going to lose my life. But he says, I'm giving you my peace. The fruit of the Ruach HaKodesh, God's Holy Spirit, is love manifested as joy and peace. So we have a blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. And he gives us these signs that are coming of the end of the age. He says there's going to be great deception. He says, see that no one deceives you. That's the first thing he says. There are going to be false messiahs. There are going to be wars and rumors of wars. Are there not those now? Do we not hear it on the news all the time? Wars and rumors of wars. Now listen to what he says about that. It almost sounds unreal except for the fact that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, wants to give us that. He says, don't be alarmed. Don't be frightened. Stop quaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give. And we just need to say, Lord, I embrace it. I receive it. Nation against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Oh, and here's something. Famines and earthquakes. You know, we're so anxious not to be dependent on the Middle East for oil, that we are carrying out something called fracking. Have any of you heard of fracking? Fracking, they actually force certain chemicals down into the earth, and there's oil in deposits in some of the rocks that they haven't been able to get out before. And now through fracking, they are claiming that we in this area are going to become independent of the Middle East for oil. Now, guess what fracking is causing? Does anyone know? Have you read or heard? Fracking is causing in areas that have never experienced before, like Oklahoma and areas around that, earthquakes. They're experiencing earthquakes where they never had before. But even in the natural, without fracking, we're told by scientists that earthquakes have increased. Huge earthquakes have come and destroyed multitudes. Then he says that there's going to be, this is in Matthew 24, 9 through 14, there's going to be persecution and death for believers. That believers are going to be hated by all nations. Now, I know that doesn't sound very encouraging, especially when we have preachers who try to identify with Christianity and so forth, who talk about the riches that are coming and the posh life. But Yeshua said that believers are going to be hated by all nations because of him. And guess what's going to happen? Even a Jewish professor of New Testament at the Hebrew University stated that we must be near the end times because the Christian church is apostatizing as Yeshua said it would. Many apostatize and betray each other. He says that false prophets will arise and deceive many. And listen to this. And I would say we should search our own hearts and say, where am I? Because if coming together as a body and witnessing for the Lord is way down on your table of important things, I would say we better listen to this, because we need a closer walk with the Lord to be faithful in these times of trial. The love of most, he's talking about professing believers, because it's going to grow cold. It can't grow cold if it was never there. The love of most will grow cold. We've had people here, people that were with us for a while, and we love them dearly. And all of a sudden, they think there's something more important than the Lord and the coming together of the body and our building ourselves up spiritually. And they just say, I'm going in another direction. The love of most will grow cold. Those who stand firm to the end will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom, the rule of the Lord in the person of the Messiah, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Then the end will come. So there will be those who are so dedicated to the Lord, so on fire for the Lord, so brimming over with the Word of God and the life of God through the Spirit coming forth from them, living waters, that they don't worry about the penalties and the threats around them. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. To all nations. Then the end will come. That's Matthew 24, 9 through 14. Similar expressions of betrayal among relatives and arrest of believers are found in Mark 13, 9 through 13, and Luke 21, 16 through 19. The synoptics have these similar situations and warnings and promises. Now, he brings up the abomination that causes desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. He says, when you see the abomination that causes desolation, you know that the coming is near. Now, scholars have differed on that. Some have tried to apply it to the defiling of the temple by Antiochus Epiphanes that happened 165 BC, in which Hanukkah celebration is built around. I don't believe it's that, because he's saying this is going to happen and that had already happened. Some scholars feel that Yeshua was preparing his disciples for 70 AD when Titus walked in and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. I don't believe that either. When Yeshua describes the abomination that causes desolation that's spoken of in Daniel, he says, at that time there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equal again. And he continues that if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Well, that isn't 70 AD. That's what we have now, where you have these weapons of mass destruction that can kill millions at a time. And you have nations rising against nations, nations with powerful weapons. And then Yeshua describes what happens immediately after those days. He says, first, if those days hadn't been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. And he says, he describes what happens immediately after the distress of those days. Matthew 24:30. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. Let me just say this. Many of the stars are bigger than our sun. If they fell to the earth, it would be totally annihilated. There wouldn't be anything. I believe he's talking about the fact that there are going to be these satellites that look like stars coming down, and they're going to use those as weapons. And so it's talking about the very last days. And so I believe what he's talking about, the abomination that causes desolation, when the man of lawlessness is going to be revealed, he's talking about what is commonly called the Antichrist or Anti-Messiah. And it's described by Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:1 through 12. This was written about AD 51 or 52. And he says, concerning the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. It hasn't come. It's on our doorstep, possibly. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness, that's the anti-Messiah, is revealed. The man doomed to destruction. He opposes and exalts himself over everything that is called God or worshiped, and even sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So Ezekiel tells us that the third temple will be built, if you read it carefully. And that Paul says this man is going to go into the temple proclaiming to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. It's at work now. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Yeshua will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. When he comes, he will destroy all evil, including human governments that are anti-God. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. So these evil, demon-possessed people are going to be doing signs and wonders to set everyone off kilter and have you believing demonic things instead of trusting the Lord. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. The people who have turned their backs on the Lord will be the most gullible for these type of things. Because only the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, will be able to help us successfully through these times. For this reason, God sends him a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Yeshua bids all outside of the kingdom to come to him. He promises us forgiveness of sin no matter what our past life has been like. He is the only one who guarantees us Chaye Olam, eternal life. It seems to me that if we could get a hold of the fact that God was in Mashiach, in the Messiah, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses to them, saying, I forgive you all. The thing is that he promised that the life of the flesh is in Adam, the blood, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make a kippur for your soul, an atonement. It is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. The only blood atonement now is the blood of Yeshua, God's Son, Mashiach, Messiah, who came to offer himself for our sin. And it says about anybody who's in Messiah, if any man be in Messiah, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Now we're guaranteed a place in God's kingdom. When does citizenship begin in God's kingdom? The moment you ask Yeshua into your heart, and you're immersed in his name for the forgiveness of sins, and God promises you that as you bury that old nature in those waters and come up, he gives you the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Your body becomes the temple of God's Spirit, and he is able to work his life and his will and his fruit in each and every heart that's yielded to him. I would encourage anyone here who has never taken that step to give your heart to Yeshua, to welcome the Ruach HaKodesh, God's Holy Spirit, into your life, to let God get a hold of us, and to let our lives be totally dedicated to him. So that when all these things happen, we will rise victoriously over them because the Lord is with us. And the scripture declares, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? What's interesting is David, who wrote about one half of all the Psalms, writes in Psalm 22, and he quotes something that Yeshua says on that Roman torture stake. He begins with, Eli, Eli, lama azaftani? My God, why have you forsaken me? That's the very thing Yeshua said on the cross. And David goes on to say, why are you so far from helping me? I cry to you day and night. He actually experienced, and I'm sure some of you would say the same thing, I have experienced times when I call upon God and he doesn't seem to be near. He always is near, even when he doesn't seem to be. And in the very next psalm, he says something so opposite from that. He says, Adonai Roi, the Lord is my shepherd. Lo echsar, I shall lack nothing. Boy, if we believe that, wouldn't fear go away? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. He will give me everything that pertains to righteousness. And it will be the way Paul said to the Philippian congregation, my God shall supply every need of yours according to his glorious riches in Messiah Yeshua. If we really believed that with all of our heart, we wouldn't fear, would we? We would be free. Any of you who have received these scriptures ahead, do you?
I just want to say that there are many views about the end times. I looked into it a lot myself many years ago, and there is premillennialism, postmillennialism, amillennialism. Among the premillennialists, there are pre-tribulationism, mid-tribulationism, post-tribulationism, partial rapturism, historicism, and which one is right? The one I believe. I did a lot of extensive study on that subject many years ago, and there are many viewpoints, and of course they all have their adherents, and they all have people bring up scriptures to support their various points of view. But the main point I want to make, which is just quickly, is that although some people get quite concerned about these issues, not just this issue, but a number of other matters, although many people become quite concerned and worried about these things, and it is, of course, important to study them. It's in Scripture. Anything that's in Scripture is to be looked at and to be studied. Not suggesting that, but there's nothing to worry about, providing you live a godly life. All you have to do is live a godly life, and everything works out. God doesn't ask us to understand everything. He asks us to trust him. And so although there are many issues, scriptural issues, that we think are confusing, as long as you're willing, as long as we are willing to follow the Lord as best we can and to just to live the kind of life that he wants us to live and to pray to him and to read his word, all the rest of it, that's really all that in the end matters, because he will see us through everything, no matter what happens. I favor what is called the post-tribulational viewpoint. And so pre-tribulationists, you know, who believe that you're going to be raptured before the beginning of the tribulation, they say, well, Ted, if you want to hang around 7 more years, that's up to you. I'm going to go up before the tribulation. And I hope that that's true. But anyway, my main point is we follow the Lord, and he works everything out, no matter what the various arguments are on any side of any issue. Following the Lord is really just the answer.